Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, John chapter 3 this evening. We continue on in our study in the book of John. We're slowly but surely getting through it. John chapter 3 this evening. We'll read through the 16th verse and then we'll back up and go at it. So, John chapter 3 this evening. The Bible, again, I'm going to say the majority here on a Wednesday night can about quote these verses. These are so familiar. And I'll go ahead and say, I'm not going to give you anything you don't know. I mean, just because we know it, just because we've heard it, it's always good to be refreshed. It's always good to go back and hear it again. And it hadn't changed, thank the Lord. And so we're going to see some truths here tonight together. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege, God, just to come into this place and God to step into the place of prayer tonight, God, into your presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. I thank you for the power of prayer. And God, we're asking tonight, God, something that I know that we cannot do. But Lord, tonight I know you can open hearts. You can help us to understand. And Lord, you can let us see. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us tonight to see the truths of this wonderful scriptures one more time. God, I'm sure as we're here on a Wednesday night, God, that there's many here tonight that's tired, many, God, that have been faced with obstacles already this week, God, that's just overwhelmed them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us tonight, God, to keep our minds and our hearts focused, Lord. And God, if there would be somebody here tonight that's lost, I pray, Lord, tonight would be the night. God, let them see this wonderful truth that you must be born again. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do in this place, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, so familiar. So many times that I or men across the world have preached these same verses. And tonight our goal is just to try to, again, step our minds through. And I just want to point out some things. Again, I don't have anything. If the Lord don't give us something, we're not going to get anything. But just to get our minds focused in on what the Lord is showing us. And again, to keep everything in context, again, as we've gone through chapter 1, as we've gone through chapter 2, chapter 1, we're introduced to Christ. Again, the book of John, of course, dealing with the deity of Christ. And then we come into chapter 2 and we see that great miracle there, showing forth what Christ was there to do. He is that new wine. He is that one that come that like that nobody had ever had before. And I'm glad I tasted of that well, amen. And I have been satisfied. And then we go to the latter part of chapter 2. And we went from seeing the miracle of Christ to seeing the opposition of Christ. That how even today, men and women, we have opposition from without. We have opposition from within. We mentioned three things that Christ deals with all throughout the New Testament. Even throughout the church age, I believe these things are being dealt with. Of course, first of all, he dealt with what? Religion. And we saw how the Jews had taken religion and made it of man and tied it all to what they wanted. And then we dealt with the fact of what? Hearing. There was a hearing problem. Christ would speak and they would hear not through the ears of spirit, but they would hear through the ears of flesh, and they had a hearing problem. And then they had the problem, Christ dealt with the problem of the disciples. Again, the ones that should know better. And here we are. We have to deal with ourselves from time to time as we go through this life. Not always are we where we need to be. So we see this opposition. And I don't want to be a hindrance to the gospel. I don't want to frustrate the gospel. I want to be a help. I want to be someone that promotes the truth. And, you know, if we're not careful, I got thinking about this old tongue and our attitudes and how so easily it is for us to have a bad attitude or a bad spirit about us, and how, you know, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but we can put out in front of people, why would they want what we got? And so I want to encourage us, you know, again, I know we're always, as we look Sunday night there in Proverbs, as we're studying Proverbs, you know, that thought of love, how it covereth all sins there. Listen, it's not always going to go our way. It's not always going to be pleasant, but God's still good. Amen. He didn't change a bit. And so I want you to try to stay on those things. So as we come to chapter 3 here, and I want to just throw this out there. If you remember all the way back to chapter 1 in verse number 6, the Bible says there was a man. And we know that man there is John the Baptist. So we're introduced to a man in chapter 1. And then we come to chapter 2, in the closing part of chapter 2. If you remember that we looked there, that the Bible says in verse 24 that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he also says, and need not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So we see that there was a man. Then he says Christ don't need that witness of man. And then we find here in chapter 3, there was a man. So now we're introduced to another man by the name of Nicodemus. And we want to look at this man by the name of Nicodemus. And again, I know John 3:16, that's the verse everybody runs to. But understanding the context, understanding the scene here of what Christ is showing here, I believe is a key to understanding this truth. So we're introduced to this man. This man is by the name of Nicodemus. But we're told some things about this man. This man, the Bible says in verse number 1, is a what? Pharisee. He is a Pharisee. Well, as you read through your Bible, do you ever stop to wonder, well, what does that mean? We know he's a Pharisee, but what does it mean that he was a Pharisee? Well, you must study through and understand this man was a Pharisee. That word Pharisee is dealing with probably the most strict, straightest sect of the Jews' religion. This man was a very religious man. Not only does that Pharisee deal with the straightness or strictness of the sect of the religion of the Jews, but it's also, as we see here, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Not only was a Pharisee, but he was a ruler. But with that Pharisee, it identified him as a devout religious person, but it also showed forth his education. It showed forth that he was a very educated man, because the Pharisees were a very learned group of people. And not only do we see that he was a Pharisee, he was educated, he was strong in that religious belief, straight. Again, I want you to understand, we're not talking about a devil worshiper. We're not talking about somebody worshiping some idol. This is a man that studied the scriptures. This is a man that knew the law. This is a man that understood somewhat in their understanding what God had given them up to that place. This wasn't just some drunk on the street. I want you to understand that. This was a very religious man, a Pharisee. Not just a good Catholic, not just a Baptist. He was a Pharisee, a teaching, a learning individual that was, again, the straightest and strictest of all of the sects of the Jews' religion would be a Pharisee. And notice also, he was a ruler there of the Jews. So this man was a man of means. I believe he probably was a rich man. He probably had a place of in the eyes of people. He was known of because of who he was. And I want to say this before we actually get into studying a little bit of what we find in these scriptures. Christ is dealing with this man. If we're not careful, and it's probably some of the hardest door knocking, some of the hardest areas in our society. I remember one, it's been several years ago, it was just me and Carrie. We went up to whatever this really, really nice neighborhood is, right up here above the church. Me and Carrie was knocking those doors, and it might have been Ethan with me too, because we got talking about cars. There was the cars in this one driveway was probably cost more than my house cost. I mean, just their vehicles. I mean, it was a very rich neighborhood. But you know what? Many times we shy away from that bunch. We'll go down to the trailer park. There's nothing wrong going to the trailer park. We'll go down to the subdivisions. There's nothing wrong with going to the subdivisions. But the rich folk need to hear about Jesus. The politicians need to hear about Jesus. The scholars need to hear about the Lord. And here Christ is dealing with this man of again, a ruler, a Pharisee. And so I want you to understand, we need to understand that, and I've got wrote in my Bible because I preached this one time, good men go to hell. In the eyes of society, they would say this was a good man. I'm sure if he died before he got saved, that they would have been a priest that would have stood over his casket and said, well, this man's with the Lord, you know. Everybody that's good goes to heaven, right? We know they don't. But in our society, that's the way man looks at it. They can be the biggest hellion there is and cuss God in the world, but when they die, oh, he's in a better place. And I always have to ask myself, is he? He's not saved, he isn't. So we need to understand that even good men go to hell. Verse 2, this same being the Nicodemus came to Jesus. That's where it always needs to start. He's starting off on the right foot. He came to Jesus. You know, a lot of people come, we get phone calls to the church. We're looking for a church. We want to know about your church. What do you got? And I've been in this thing long enough, I know what that means. They want to know what kind of youth group you got if they go out to the bowling alley and this, you know, we take our youngins on stuff. But they're more worried about the fellowshipping side of religion. I like to tell them we got Jesus. That's what we promote around here, is Jesus. We have fun. We have a good time. But we're going to put Jesus in it everywhere we go. Nicodemus, verse 2, came to Jesus. And then it says by night. And I know, I've heard, why'd he come by night? I don't know. Neither does anybody else. Why does it matter when he came? I've heard, well, he came because he was embarrassed. He was scared. Okay, maybe he was. I don't know. He wasn't scared after he came to Jesus because he was upfront about who he was later on. I was doing some reading today on that same thought. This guy says, well, maybe he had a job and he couldn't leave during the day and he could only come at night. Sounds good as anything else. Who cares when he came? The key is that he came. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, now listen, this is a religious man speaking. Listen to his speech, how he's wording things. He said unto him, Rabbi. Then notice the next wording, we know. Again, this is a Pharisee, a man of the most strictest sect of religion in that day, a man that had studied the scriptures, a man that had heard and been taught by the best of that day. And he comes before the Lord and he says, this is what we know. You know what I had to find out in my life? I didn't know anything. That's the reason it's hard to see people saved today, because they got to tell you what they know. I had to realize I didn't know anything. And he knew everything. So here this man speaks and says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Again, he doesn't know much. All he knows is that Jesus is a teacher. He identifies the fact that he had to come from God. He doesn't identify him the fact as being God. Again, chapter 1, chapter 2. Again, listen to what he says. He says that we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do what? These miracles. Does that give you any idea about this man? I believe Nicodemus had probably seen, had been in the presence of seeing Christ performing those miracles there in chapter 2. And he comes questioning, who are you? Where did you come from? So he is there a teacher that's come from God, because, and he also identifies the fact that God must be with him. So we see the response of Nicodemus, and then verse 3, we find the response of Christ. After Nicodemus makes the statement of that he is there a Pharisee, he speaks of that they know something. Notice Jesus. And if you don't get anything, we're probably not going to get as far as I wish we would tonight in these first verses. But if you do care, and if you don't care, I don't understand why you don't care. We should be a individual. If you're saved tonight, God has not just asked you to, God has commanded us to be a witness. Do you care about souls? Do you understand that men and women are dying and going to hell? And here comes a religious man to Christ. And Christ knows who he is. He knows all men. He knows what's in man, as we found in chapter 2. And here this man introduces himself and responds to Christ saying, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that thou had to come from God. We know that God must be with you. Lester Roloff says this, said it this way, and I like what Roloff said. Again, he's one of my heroes. I cannot change how you act, but I can change how I react. What do you mean, preacher? You know, a lot of times we begin to talk to people, and I've heard a little of everything. I talked to a man in a trailer park in Harmony one time that he thought we were just a speck of dirt under the fingernail of God. He thought we were aliens or something. You know, he was way out there. You hear everything. I've been cussed. I've been run down as far as Baptist. And again, I am a Baptist, but I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. But a lot of times we like to argue, don't we? We got to prove our point. We got to be right. Of all the things, I'm trying to get you to see something about Christ. Of all that Christ could have said, he knows what's in man. We found chapter 2. He understood this man's religion. He understood this man's dedication. He knew the error of his heart. He could have blasted him about being a Pharisee. He could have blasted him about his government position as a ruler. He could have blasted him over his talking to Christ in such a way. Again, he says, we know. How does Christ respond? Ye must. Jesus answered verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What are you saying, preacher? Stay on point. The main thing is the main thing. Don't get sidetracked about religion. Don't get sidetracked about government. Don't get sidetracked about the thunderstorm. The man that you're talking to, the woman that you're talking to, that person that you're trying to tell about the Lord, the fact is he must be born again. And that's what Christ told him. Christ could have told him anything. But the first things that he says is the fact that he must be born again. So stay on point. Without a new birth, you'll never. And I like the wording. Again, it's not. He says he cannot see. He's not even going to be able to see the kingdom of God. Two things, again, it'll be more than that, but stay on point. And then second of all is the urgency. You must. You must. Except a man be born again. I think that's something that's missing in our day of church, is the urgency. If your house was on fire and the firemen roll up, you might want to get out of your house. You know, it's on fire. You can stay in if you want to. It's your choice. Is that how you think most firemen would act? No, they're going to run in there. They're going to bust the door down. They're going to drag you out to get you outside of that harm. Where's that attitude in our hearts for souls of our day? They're dying and going to hell. And we know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through being born again. So, again, he speaks that fact that you must, except a man be born again, ye must be born again. And again, we're living in a day and time of well, preacher, I just feel like this. Or no, there's many ways to heaven. Not according to our Bible, there's only one way to heaven. Well, preacher, that's too narrow-minded. You know, people need to be broadened. No. The Bible says it like this in Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, but called straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is no other way. Except a man be born again. Not joining the church. Not being baptized. Not being a good moral person. Ye must be born again. And that's the fact. And we're going to, I can't say we, but I'm going to stay on that. It's one of the problems of our day is people are so willing to buy into the easiest way. And this is an easy way, but there's only one way. Except a man be born again. So Christ answers him here right off the bat in verse number 3. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how? That's a good question. As I mentioned the other night, Sunday night or Wednesday night, whenever it was, or the Sunday morning, I think it was now. Can you help somebody? If somebody asks you how to be saved, could you tell them? It's a question, can you? What if you rolled up down the road this after leaving church and you run into an wreck and you run up there and this guy's taking his last breath and he says, I'm dying and going to hell. Would you know what to say to him? Boy, it's quiet in here. I remember what I was doing. I was saying that I was going to fake my death, and I had several say, you better not do that, because I'd wake up with people, or I'd have people do me chest compressions. I don't want that, but, you know, I'm glad we got people in here. If I fall over, we got some nurses that know how to help me physically. That's wonderful. You ought to know how to do those things. That's one of the worst feelings in the world, to stand there and watch somebody choking or watch somebody gasping for breath or somebody that their heart's quit on them and you don't know what to do. That's a terrible feeling. You dial 911 and it seems like it's hours before anybody comes, just minutes, but it seems like it's hours. But seriously, tonight, do we understand what we're dealing with? We're not, I mean, as bad as a heart attack is, as bad as choking might be, we're talking about eternity of a person's soul. Could you tell somebody how? The Lord has just spoke the greatest truth ever spoke to man, except a man be born again. He ain't getting in. Tonight, if you're at Gospel Light Baptist Church, if you've not been born again, you're not going to heaven. It's just the truth. Nicodemus responds. He says, how? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Again, he's dealing that same opposition that we saw in chapter 2. Here he's dealing with it again. He deals, first of all, with the religious side of things. And now what's he dealing with? The hearing side of things. Nicodemus has totally missed the mark on what Christ is saying. But he's seeing through the eyes of flesh. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time? The one that just said in verse number 2 that he knows. He says, I know you came from God. The one that saw the miracles that he's done. The one that should know the scriptures misses this truth. I wonder how many times people sit in our services and hear the scriptures and miss that truth. How? What is Nicodemus referring to even? Now you got to think outside the box here a little bit. Again, this is a religious man. He's not a devil worshiper. Not some guy over there hugging a tree. Christ says you must be born again. And what does he instantly think of? Reincarnation. Is that not what he's saying? How can a man that's old, if he die, can he enter, come again? Is that not what he's referring to? I'm glad I ain't coming back. I ain't real happy this go around. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. But that's what Nicodemus is thinking. That's the reason it's so important as we deal with people to keep their minds, because you say that we're guilty. Are you saved? Saved from what? Well, I was saved out of a car wreck one time. I was saved from drowning one time. They hear our terminology. They hear us say things and well, don't you want to go to heaven? Who don't want to go to heaven? You must be born again. And Nicodemus here is confused. He doesn't understand. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's missed the mark. This man that says he knows, he don't know much. Notice verse 5, how the Lord responds. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Water. So, you know what a lot of people do there? We see a touch of reincarnation there with the thought of being born again, but now Christ says that you must be born of water. You know what a lot of people are trusting to get them into heaven? Baptism. Sprinkling. So many things you want to say, but that's what he got. That's what people get out of that, don't you think? And how I'm a very logical, thinking person. If a man could be saved and go to heaven through baptism, and there's many that believe that, you might be here tonight and you believe that. If you do, you're wrong. If a man could go to heaven through baptism, why did Jesus die? Why did he go to the cross? If man could be saved through water, why didn't he just say, "Go get baptized"? A greater thought: if a man could get saved through baptism, why did Jesus get baptized? He didn't need saving. You see what I'm saying? But people look at things and they take pieces and they don't get what Christ is showing them. I think one of the things that really, and I've dealt with people this way, I've had people come in here and want me to baptize their children. And I have to explain to them what baptism is. But there's people that one of the greatest days they say in their life is the day they take their little baby in front of a priest. And that priest puts some water on its forehead and says it's a Christian now. That baby don't know Christ. That baby don't know sin. But see how man has so messed up what God is trying to show? So he says there that they must, Jesus answered there in verse 5 that I say anything except a man be born again. Again, you've got to be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6 answers verse 5, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I've got my Bible. Again, I write my Bible. I highlight my Bible. Notice the hardness of those words. That which is born of the flesh, notice that next little word, is flesh. That that's born of the flesh is flesh, and it will always be flesh. God didn't save this old flesh. This flesh here was born after that first Adam, and it will always be. That's the reason it's going to die. That's the reason it's going to go back to the ground. That is born of the flesh is flesh. And then he goes on to say, and that which is born of the Spirit, and I'm glad, is. Spirit. Always will be. Never changes. That's one of the things that people have a hard time. People say, well, if you've been born again, you can't do this. You can't. Listen, my flesh hasn't been born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a difference in me. And if you're saved, there's a difference in you. He identifies the fact here that there is a first birth. And guess what? You've all had that one. We've all gone through that first birth. Dealing with that fact, except a man be born of water. What's he talking about? That's that first birth. Didn't happen with Ethan so much, but I'll never forget Carrie's birth. I'd come home from third shift. I'd just laid down and the door cracked open. We got to go to the hospital. Why? My water just broke. Guess what that means? There's getting ready to be a baby. It was born of what? Water. So that which is born of water, we've all had that first birth. It's a flesh birth. But the second birth is a spiritual birth, and that ye must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. The wind blows. It goes wherever it wants to. We have no control of it. We hear the sound of wind, but you don't see wind. I saw my son born. I saw my daughter born. I saw the first birth. I can't see the second birth. That's the difference. If you can put whatever you think is getting you to heaven and you say you can see it, it's not of that spirit. The first birth is a visual, something you can see. The wind goes wherever it wants to. You hear it. When somebody gets saved, I can't see that new birth, but I can see the results of that new birth. And that's the wonder of it. So yes, you can see the first birth, the flesh birth, but you can't see the second birth. You can see baptism, but baptism isn't the second birth. You can see some sacraments that a man says he's trusting in, but that's not the second birth. Why? The second birth is of the Spirit. The questions tonight is, are you religious or are you born again? Many are religious. Few are born again. Are you trusting baptism or are you trusting a new birth? Are you trusting something you did or are you trusting a new birth? And again, are we taking it seriously though? Oh, just be good. Turn over a new leaf. Those are all good things. But Jesus said, except a man be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. We're not talking about foolish things of alcohol or drugs. We're talking about where a man's going to spend eternity. That's how serious this is. It's the reason we've got to be so dogmatic. It's one of the reasons that you know, again, God doesn't save him. We can't save people. But I'll never tell a man he's saved. I don't know. I'll tell you I'm saved. But I ain't going to say you're saved. I don't know that you're saved. Say this prayer and you're saved. Are you? Get baptized and you're saved. Really? Join the church and you'll go to heaven, right? But that's the mentality in the people's minds of today. And not just today. Jesus said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? Isn't it sad that Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisee, a man that out of all the Jews of that day probably knew the scriptures better than most. A man that had heard and a man that had actually seen Christ asked the question, how can these things be? Isn't it sad, though, in the day and hour that we live in, that within a mile of our church there's thousands that have never heard the truth? Of all the elements that we have in our hands today to get the gospel to the world, and we're failing, churches on every corner, internet preaching, and I'm all for getting the Word of God every way, how we can get it to wherever we can get it to go. And he don't know how. Do our children know how? Do our grandchildren know how? How can these things be? And then notice, and I'm going to close here, notice Jesus' response to this. Jesus answered, and he sort of rebukes him in that same fashion. And said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Jesus is like, you mean you supposedly are a master? You're supposedly one that should know, and you don't know? Why don't you know? I'm going to close with this verse, and it goes back. We looked at it just a few weeks ago. Look over in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, look down about, we'll read verse 27, but again, we know Christ has been crucified. We know here we find two of the disciples heading back there home. Christ has risen. Christ comes up amongst these two. They're unaware who he is. He starts revealing himself to them. Verse 27, again, notice this. And beginning at where? Moses and all the prophets, he, being Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He didn't go to the Romans Road. There wasn't a Romans Road. He didn't go to John 3:16 because John 3:16 hadn't been written. Christ himself went back to Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures and told them of who he was. And Christ is looking at a religious man, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a master, and says, you don't know? Would it not be, and I'm not trying to hurt you by no means, try to provoke you. What would Christ say to you tonight? If someone was to ask you how to be saved, could you tell them? I'd hate to be a preacher and not be able to tell somebody how to be saved. I'd hate to be a Sunday school teacher and not be able to tell someone how to be saved. I'll even go further than that. I'd hate to be saved and not be able to tell somebody else how I got saved. I done closed my Bible. Look. I get to talk to a lot of people about problems. It's all right. It's good. They can have a surgery. They can tell you everything that doctor did to them. They can use big words. They can show you the scar. My pastor, Brother Wayland, you can ask him about this, Brother John, or Brother Tony. He went to visit somebody from Freightliner, and he walked in the room and was just witness, talking to him, getting conversation going, and he'd had some major surgery, and guy says, "You want to see the scar?" and throw the blanket back. He's like, no, I don't need to see the scar. What are you saying? When they do something to us physically, we'll dive in and find out everything we can find out about what they're going to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm that concerned about this flesh and what the doctors are going to do to me, how concerned are we about our spirit and what Christ did for me? Don't you want to know all about it? Don't you want to be able to say, yeah, this is what Christ did? Jesus looked at Nicodemus and says, don't you know? And he didn't know. He was blinded. And many today are still blinded. What do? We don't change the gospel. You must be born again. They didn't get it, preacher. You must be born again. They still don't understand it, preacher. You must be born again. No more, no less. We're going to close, I promise. Give you a little study. He says you must be born again. That's number one. There's another must in those 16 verses that we're going to look at next week. A must. A must is a must. If he says you must be born again, that means you must be born again. There's another must in those verses that must have had happened. And we'll look at that next week. Let's stand together.